Colonel Musi, Captain Prince, and Captain Hosun were gathered in a grove of trees with several non-coms, discussing various imponderables of the raid, when their confab was interrupted.
Colonel Musi? A Filipino man called out in a soft voice.
The rangers wheeled about to behold a gorilla riding bareback on a tiny horse. His shoulders were crisscrossed with bandoliers of ammo, and he seemed perfectly at ease with the M1 carbine that was strapped over his shoulder. He was small-statured and unprepossessing, yet something about his presence, an air of steely competence, of quiet menace, made him vaguely intimidating.
"Captain Juan Pajota," he said, with a crisp salute. Behind him was a force of several dozen gorillas.
"Captain," Musi said, brightening just a little, "it's a pleasure to meet you."
Like his compatriot Eduardo Hosun, Juan Pajota was a well-known Filipino guerrilla leader who had so tenaciously devoted himself to the resistance that the Japanese had long ago put a price out on his head. Captain Pajota knew every inch of this neck of Nueva Ecija, knew it not only as an itinerant soldier and insurrectionary, but as someone who had grown up here. His headquarters was over in Cabu, which lay just a few miles to the northeast of Cabanatuan City. His territory included Balincarin, Platero, and all the surrounding lands. The Cabanatuan POW camp was squarely in his backyard. Pajota dismounted from his pony and shook hands with Musi, Prince, and Hosun. All told, Pajota could commit a guerrilla force of about 90 armed soldiers and another 160 unarmed men to help with logistics and aiding the prisoners. Most of Pajota's men were either in Platero or scattered about elsewhere in the region, awaiting his word. Soon the rangers fell back into a tense discussion of the raid, and Pajota was asked to contribute his thoughts on the matter.
"When do you intend to carry out the attack?" Pajota inquired.
Musi and Prince were a little confused by the question.
"Tonight at dusk," Musi responded. "That's always been the plan."
After a long, awkward silence, Pajota said,
"Sir, with all due respect, that is suicide."
Musi was taken aback by Pajota's seeming effrontery. A little captain from the hinterlands questioning the soundness of a plan officially conceived and endorsed by the high command of the U.S. Sixth Army? Pajota quickly assured Musi that it was the timing, not the plan itself, that was fatally flawed.
"I'm sure you must know the enemy's situation," Pajota said,
and then proceeded to lay out nearly the same details that Nellist and Rouncival had described earlier. Except that Pajota now supplied three disturbing new wrinkles. During the early morning hours, he said, the force of 200 Japanese soldiers camping on the banks of the nearby Cabu River had swelled to more than 1,000. Instead of only 100 Japanese troops bivouacking inside the camp, new intelligence reports were indicating three times that number. Finally, Filipino spies in Cabanatuan City had received word that another large convoy of troops and heavy equipment would be pulling out early this evening and heading north toward Bungabon. If this report was correct, then tonight at dusk, when the raid was set to commence, the road directly in front of the camp's main gate would be thoroughly congested with Japanese traffic. Thinking it manifest madness to undertake a prison bust in the midst of an enemy exodus, Pajota said calmly,
"I think you should wait 24 hours.
Musi and Prince studied each other and drank in the significance of everything Pajota had reported.
"That," replied Musi stubbornly, "is the decision I will make once we reach Platero and receive the latest report from the Alamo scouts."
Although Musi was putting a bluff and resolute face on things, clearly Pajota's new details had rattled the colonel, and the case for postponement was persuasive. What made Pajota so compelling was his obviously intimate knowledge of the terrain. He knew all the mayors of all the barrios. He was familiar with the realities on the ground, every quirk of the Carabao paths, every river bend. Whatever men or arms might need to be mustered, Pajota had the political wherewithal to make it happen.